All right, in an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's an absolute must. You got to hire the right lawyer. You're going to make sure that your insurance companies pay you what you are owed. Injury attorney David Femenino and his team, they are exactly who you need to call. They have been making insurance companies pay for over 30 years. They're going to help you with your case as well. David is ready to speak to you personally. Right now, 855-65-CRASH. That's 855-65-CRASH, or you simply go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com.
That feels awful harsh, but I'll take it. All right, let's get right to the phones. People want to react to Javi Baez. You missed anything, odyssey.com rewind. It is 4 o'clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon, and Troy Weaver is still employed. Javi Baez, a little bit of a Hulk Hogan with the fans, the rare booed after hitting a home run. And look, his comments aren't wrong. It's just, we don't care. Like, you as a fan don't care. Tell your wife, she might care. Tell your agent, might care. Tell a friend. Don't tell us, we don't care. You're terrible. We boo you because you're awful. And then when you egg it on and do a little catcall routine, what do you think is going to happen? It's like when he did the thumbs down in New York. You can't.
It's not going to end well.
So look, either his play gets better and this solves itself, or it becomes a real toxic part of this whole deal. And I'm not telling fans not to boo him. They have every right to do what they want to do. The guy's betting 140, 15 games into the year. He hit his first home run. Congrats. You might get the 10. What are you, Pee Wee Reese?
Right.
Go to Evan, 97.1. What's up, Evan? How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Listen, I was going to hit Baez with a chair, but the Pistons turned around and hit me with one with Weaver news.
Okay, well, we'll address both. Go ahead.
So first off, with Baez, I was a defender of his when he first got here. I mean, it wasn't my first choice when they signed him, but I was like, all right, you got a guy that's been an all-star. He's won a World Series, made some big plays. He's got a little bit of a flair to the game. All right, cool. It's indefensible with how badly he's played in 3 years. I mean, but the thing that worries me more is look at the left side of the infield as a whole. You've got dead bodies playing third base. I mean, heck, Weaver's probably a better third baseman than what McKinstry put out there on Saturday. And then you got an automatic out and Baez in the lineup. The division is wide open, and yet the organization won't make the moves that are necessary to win.
That's the problem. So here's the thing. And this is where I'm always going to get into a fight with people, because the people who just look at the record, they're going to be like, well, why are you upset? Let's say they're 500 or slightly above, because the division is going to prop you up. The division is so bad. It's so embarrassing. It's going to be hard not to be good in this division. And I'm with you. Look, Parker Meadows is a huge problem most fans aren't paying attention to. But when you combine Meadows with Javi, with a McKinstry, or with, you start to go, all right, how are we going to be a playoff team when we're playing
games with one arm tied behind your back?
Exactly. I agree.
I mean, they're nine and six. I mean, Baez has come up a couple times this year with the bases loaded in Cade. McKinstry threw away that game on Saturday. They could easily have 11 or 12 wins already and be in a lot better spot.
Yep. No, I agree totally. And my fear, Evan, is just, I don't know where the help comes from. I don't know how it changes, because Scott Harris has convinced himself that he's Brad Pitt, that he can basically just run out. Like, I know what this is. It's his last year in San Francisco. They had a bunch of tryhards who had a magical year and won like 103 games. Didn't win anything, but they won a bunch of games. And, well, I'll just do it again. But that's not really how it works. So I'm with you. I wish they would have brought in some bats. And like, now they have a distinct problem in center field. And it's not just lack of performance. It is a striking out at an alarming rate. So you get a problem in center, a problem in short. And I'm telling you, long term, I think you got a problem at third.
Not to mention catcher, too.
Listen, Evan, I'm with you, man. But I'm fighting a losing battle, because the Scott bots will tell you, well, you know, it's gonna all going to come together in 2027.
All the young guys get up here. Yeah.
Look, Evan, I think they have a chance to compete for this division, but that includes making a move in the season to help these young players with a bat.
It almost is like they're sacrificing what they could do this year for 3-4 years from now, rather than just try to win now.
That's all we do in this town.
Right. because it's there for the taking, and worry about 4 years from now.
Evan, what was your Pistons deal? I want to make sure you get to hit both of them.
Oh, they keep getting worse under Weaver, but yet he somehow continues to have a job. I mean, it's literally the boys club over there.
Yep.
And it's an embarrassment. Like, they're never going to win. They're at least another 5 or 6 years out with some luck. And I don't get how people want to continue to throw their money down the drain to go watch this team when all it is just an embarrassment. Like, they've got guys out there that you don't even know where they played college ball, if they played college ball, because they're so bad. And they're just taking pieces because nobody else wants them.
The only two players, if I were a playoff team, that I would be interested in calling you about are Cade and Duren. And at that, and again, I don't know what I would really offer you. Like, I'm a playoff team. Okay, yeah, I'll give you a couple of firsts because they're nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, and I don't know the way out here. This roster is so ill-conceived, and now,
and they're gonna.
Go ahead,
and they're going to go ahead and win. They're going to go ahead and win the lottery, and they're going to get some other bum to add to the rotation.
Well, no, the problem is this is the worst NBA draft by all accounts in damn near a quarter of a century. And look, let's say you get the number one pick. You're taking a 19-year-old European, and please just miss me with any of the Wembanyama comps, like Alexander Sarr. I mean, that's probably a 3-year project. Until he's ready to play 35 minutes a night and be an upper echelon player. That's if he works out. Mm-hmm. It's truly stunning. It's stunning that Troy Weaver's here. And now they're going to hire him a new boss. But we did the research. There are two Tellums not yet employed by the Pistons. There's Cornelius Tellum and Barney Tellum. So there are options. Now, I know Arn already has one of his kids here. We have other Tellums. We can go to the Tellum tree.
You're allowing Troy to make a pick.
Rico, go ahead. It's like Home Alone lost in New York. Here's a turtle dove. Go to the Tellum tree and pick a new Tellum to come down and work for the team.
You're allowing this man to make a pick in a year where you really need to know what you're doing in order to find that diamond in the rough because it's buried in there. As you like to say, it's in the DVD bin.
Right.
At the bottom. Can you find it? I don't trust this man with anything.
And I mean, now the team doesn't either because they're putting bumper bowl lanes up. Hey, Troy, you like your decision? You feel good about it? Hey, I don't.
So his draft day phone's going to be disconnected?
They're giving him the Brady Hoke headset. Right. Troy's headset will feature Kids Bop while the team president makes the pick.
I'm trying to call OKC, but they're not answering. Don't tell them it's unplugged.
Or just put one of your ticket salespeople, who I'm sure they have nothing to do, just put them on the phone and have them pretend to be Sam Presti. Yeah.
What do you need? You know what? Let's make that deal, Troy.
Yeah, send it right over. Let's go to Nick 97.1. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Mike, it's me, Nick again. So, Javi, man, this new statement by Baez really takes the cake. Because, man, I already hate him. In fact, it's gotten so toxic and unhealthy for me as a fan to watch that I'm almost at a point, if not already at a point, where I enjoy watching him fail. And I don't want to be like that. But he's a player on my team. I want to root for him. I want him to do well at the plate because his offense still looks bad from a hitting standpoint. I mean, they get on base a lot. But that doesn't mean very much when your team batting average ranks 29th. Someone's got to hit the ball. Can't all be walks. And that's got to change soon because the cardiac cats trend of late games offensive surges cannot continue.
No,
but
because you're not going to face bullpens like this. You're facing some of the worst teams in the league. And I mean, look at Minnesota. Minnesota's best players are all hurt, including their ace.
Who did they put up there? Griffin Jacks, whatever the hell his name was.
Well, instead of Johan Duren, it's Griffin Jacks, who will be working at a Jacks car wash soon enough. I'm with you. I mean, so Nick, here's my question. Do you think, I want to know, because I know Rico thinks I'm nuts on this, and I might be. If he doesn't improve, and you, the fan, continue to hammer this guy, is there a non-zero chance of a DFA in June?
I would need to see Christopher act like a real owner. Otherwise, if it's a non-zero, like we're talking like less than 1% chance. Mm. Maybe non-zero, I guess. I don't know.
And Nick, Mike,
Christopher just doesn't act like a real owner. He's not going to eat that contract. He doesn't care.
And that's just it.
I haven't seen it.
Guys, I said it for the longest. He had till the end of April. And if it wasn't there.
That's not how it works.
Okay, but How long is the runway? Like, June. You did nothing.
I'll tell you.
You did nothing in spring training. You did nothing.
June is a couple hundred at bats, and it's and it'll be an amount of time that this team will be able to give you an idea of what they are. So I'm saying I think they'll have an okay record. Why? This is the Oscar the Grouch division. But if the team's doing all right, and this is toxic and reaching, I'm benching him every 3 days. I'm batting him ninth.
Right.
He's getting booed when he ties his shoes.
I understand, as you're saying, you got to wait until June. My thing is just be bold and realize you don't want him here. Just make the move. 2 months early.
I know.
Just Merry Christmas, everybody.
248-539-9797. Happy Harvmas. Here's Rico.
Happy Chinooka.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, David, if you would have taken text, we'll get to the callers. And I think I can solve all of baseball's injury problems with two stats. You guys get to tell me. Now, this is going to be I totally agree or I totally disagree. There is no lukewarm. I'm going to play the game. You played with the draft thing.
Gotcha.
And we're going to do it here. But I want to hear David's ticket text first, and then we'll get some calls.
Yeah, we got a mixture. We got some on Harvey, and we have some on
No, it's Harvey.
Pistons.
He's lost the right to be called Harvey.
Okay.
He's Harvey.
All right. I've wanted Harvey gone since the moment he signed here. DFA, trade for a bag of peanuts. I don't care. Get his regularly scheduled strikeouts off of this roster. Another one on Harvey. No way Baez gets let go. Ownership isn't going to give all that money to someone to not play.
Okay, but the point I'm making is if this team is actually in a position to do something, right? Guys, you eventually have to get to a point where you make big boy decisions. And I mean, look, it can't be this bad. When you look at Javi Baez's numbers right now, I mean, these are the worst numbers in the history of baseball. To a point like, for instance, something like OPS Plus. OPS Plus is on a scale where the baseline is 100. 100 means you're a league average ball player. Every number above 100 is the percentage you are better than league average. Every number below is the percentage you are worse than league average. So if a player is a 91 OPS plus, he's 9% worse than a league average player.
Okay.
Do you know Javi Baez's OPS plus?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
Well, do you have a guess? Or you don't need to ask. Do you want to guess?
78.
Okay. David.
I believe it was in the 20s.
He's going 20s. You're at 78. Yeah. Kenny, OPS plus for Javi.
17.
Try 3.
Oh, please, no.
3. He's 97% worse than a league average player. So you just get to a point that if you are, hey, we're good, we can win this division, you cannot have guys with OPS plus that have exactly one more nut than you have. Like, you cannot have this.
Which is why I say, why wait? As you either have somebody and say, we'll pay most of the salary, you take him, we'll leave him on the curb, you pick him up on a Friday, and don't worry about it.
You know the other thing I can't stand too? Like, Scott Harris goes out the other day, and he was down at DEC, and he's like, oh, I mean, Gio Urshela is off to good. Between Gio Urshela and Javi Baez, 25 strikeouts, no walks. I thought we were working the strike zone, attacking the strike. Like, you look at the underlying numbers. The record is what it is. You're playing god-awful teams. I'm saying long-term, the data is not representative of a team that's going to be able to do anything. Now, again, Javi can't be this bad. I don't know that a player has ever been given 600 at-bats, 550 at-bats, and has finished the season with an OPS plus below 10. I'm being serious. Three?
Single digits.
I thought 20 was bad. Wait, I really
David,
did.
It is. You're 80% worse than a league average player. Three.
And single digits. Not even high single digits. Like, that can be your badge. I'm 9. Almost 10.
I just had to offer that. Let's go to Dre, 97.1. Dre, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, y'all? Y'all enjoying this beautiful weather?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, staring at it through a window. But, yes, yeah. I hope you are. Happy Troy Weaver Day.
Hey, man, look, I would like to hit on both topics. I love both basketball and baseball. And I think from a basketball perspective, I'm kind of got to your point. Where you're at, Mike, I'm really lost as to what really is the best course of action for this franchise. I know damn well wouldn't have Weaver stay here. I think the biggest problem, with where they are is there's been too many cooks in the kitchen where I think that even to Troy's unfair detriment, not to give him a break, but we really don't know who makes what decisions and who made what decisions along the way to get here. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It'll be interesting. We'll never know. In which you got some insight on who made what decision, who made the decision to in the draft room, what was the decision like to get Killian as opposed to Halliburton?
How about who made the decision to acquire like 11 Telum clients?
I think the key person you just named is right there. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's been a total mess. You have this mess, and as opposed to just cleaning it up and starting fresh, you just want to add on to it. And I just don't quite get it, and it's really, really deflating. But, look, to the Tigers thing, because honestly, the Pistons are ugly, they're dead, and I actually haven't watched the game over a month. And that's saying something for me, because I love basketball. Let's focus on baseball. The bias thing is, it's fans for the most part can deal with a lot. They can deal with a player struggling, but a guy like Baez really, really, and I talked to you and Stoning last week about this, really, really, like, just infuriates you because he already plays very, very cocky, very loose, and it's like, not only if you're going to be like that, a guy like Kim, Machado, Tatis Jr., you're going to have a flair to your game. You better be damn good. But when you are not just good, when you're not just bad, you're historically bad, you're going to really turn people off. And it's not necessarily personal, but it's the only way that fans can express themselves because we can't write the check for the team to do anything. And I'm more with Rico here. I don't think they're going to make a move. I wish they would, no matter what month it is. But because even though you pointed out that stat, I can't remember what it was called, about how bad he is right now.
Oh, OPS plus?
Yes. Yeah. Nothing's changed the last 2 years. He was bad 2022 and 2023. So the sample size as to, I don't know what happened, man. He was always a high strikeout guy. Literally the year before he got here, he had a pretty good second half with the Mets. He was still Javi. He still has foibles. But teams figured out something with him and his swing.
Here's what they figured out.
Every time.
Don't throw him a strike. That's all they figured out. Don't throw him a strike.
But it's been 7-8 years in his career. I've never seen a guy fall off so quickly. Maybe besides Chris Davis. A guy fall off so fast.
Chris Davis.
It's amazing. It really is.
Look at Chris Davis. That's look at Josh Hamilton. You've seen it. And again, Dre, I'm not breaking your chops. I'm just saying, when it happens, it happens. It's like a running back in football. And it's over. And I look for the best interests of this team and for the best interests of our customer base, you the fan. No, I want Javi to turn this around. This isn't fun. I mean, we joke around here and there. Watching him is awful.
Yeah, and it's not going to. And I think that anybody who's watched his team closely the last couple of years, you see the writing on the wall. No, it's over for him. And with the hard part, and this is where I get really ticked off about Scott Harris' lack of, because people get so, the Scott bots, as you would call them, get so hung up on, oh, well, you guys said Chapman, you guys say JD. They get too caught up on the particular people. When you're just, the point is that it's not the players that people were throwing out there for the Tigers to go get. It's the idea.
Correct.
That you need veteran guys who understand and bring a certain approach to the game to take pressure off, whether that was free agency or trade, right?
Yep.
And once again, you have your kids, and they're not kids, but in terms of age and longevity in the game, and Torque and Green that are trying to figure out, especially Torque. And I would, how great would it be? A guy is, Mike, I know you're really plugged in. JD Martinez is one of the most anal and detail-oriented players in the game in terms of his hitting approach. The guy looks at a freaking tablet after every at-bat. How much of a benefit would it be for having that kind of an example?
Yeah.
For your young guys to look and say, wow, that's what it takes
especially now that you may have to move Riley back to center because Parker Meadows can't stay here because he's atrocious. And the DH spot, you know, they have this thing, they value the flexibility of it. I value a guy that over a five-year aggregate is going to give you an 855 OPS. I value the aggregate of a guy that I'm going to get four quality ABs a night. And then again, if he didn't want to come here, it's fine. But they didn't even call. So, yes, Dre,
They want to go pure money ball.
Yeah, and when you see the deal that he got. Yeah, so Dre, when you saw the deal that he got, you're like, wait, why didn't we do
this? And I know. He said, I'm addicted to the playoffs. My sales pitch would be, have you seen the AL Central? And second of all, I'm willing to pay you almost double what the Mets paid. I'll give you one at 20.
Right.
Because we got money to burn.
You put that bat in here, and now you're sitting there saying, you know what, you can get back to the playoffs. In an old English D.
I agree with you. You know I do. And it doesn't mean he's this perfect player. It was the idea of him. And here's the other thing. You know, maybe Torkelson's not struggling as bad as he is if we have a veteran presence in there. And I know. Look, I know what we're going to do all year. Well, right now, you know, you're not a big Mark Canha fan. No, I'm not. Because this Mark Canha is not you're not going to be led by Mark Canha. Mark Canha on a playoff team's a fourth outfielder. If you think Mark Canha being your best offensive player is going to lead you to a World Series, then I tip my cap. God bless. We live in different universes.
You probably believe the Pistons have the 15th best attendance.
No, and I'm happy to have Mark Canha if he's my sixth, seventh best bat.
Right.
That's different. I'm not yelling at you. Talking with my hands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so I wanted to mix this in. Just as a fun note, couple minutes here, and we'll get some football. But often, like, the simplest explanation is the easiest, right? So you've heard all of these debates raging the last couple of weeks about why so many pitchers are getting hurt in baseball. And specifically, Tommy John, UCL, elbow, forearm injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I said. So, like, I know it's kind of a rotten thing to be like, oh, I'm bringing this up because it's something I agree with. But I knew what the data would be. I didn't have it at my disposal. So I was watching, here, call me old. I was watching Sunday Night Baseball last night, Pods and Dodgers. And they had a discussion while the game was going on. And they flashed a graphic up. So what I'm going to ask you guys is two data points. And I want you to tell me whether you absolutely agree or absolutely disagree that this is the culprit. It's not the pitch clock or it's not anything other than this. So 2008, do you know what the rate of fastballs that were thrown were 95 or above, 95 miles an hour above? The rate from a percentage standpoint. 2008.
No.
Okay, not black and white here, right? We're not doing 1940. No. Okay, it was 13% of fastballs thrown were 95 or faster. Okay? 2023, 35%. Okay? Now, here's where we get to, and this is the one. Breaking balls. Any off-speed stuff. Sliders, splitters, change-ups, curveballs, wipeout sweepers, all of it. Percentage of the number of breaking balls thrown at 85 or faster. Remember, it used to be these off-speed offerings were in the low 80s. Okay? Because you weren't throwing 98 miles an hour, and you surely weren't throwing sliders in the 90s. 2008, over the course of the year, in totality, about 33,000 of these off-speed pitches were thrown 85 or faster. Do you know what it is last year? 77,000. So the whole premise of this, and it's why pitchers are blowing out at an unbelievable rate. You're throwing way too hard. You're throwing way too many of these off-speed pitches, and it's starting younger. And I know youth baseball people will agree with this. You have kids throwing sliders at like age 7. Your elbows are shot. Mm-hmm. Here's the reason this is happening. David and I didn't want to tell you this, Rico, but David and I have just signed a book deal. We're writing a book. It's called How Analytics Ruin Sports. Are You Happy Now, Nerds? This is what it is.
Can I give the foreword?
Yes. Please. Yes. We're not really writing a book, but everything leads back to this. Baseball decided it has to be about velocity, spin. Like, look at spin rate, this stat that everyone's obsessed with. Well, the more spin rate, the more effective the pitch. They were showing Matsui, the reliever for the Pods last night.
But the more strain you put on your arm.
Exactly. And they're talking, and it's just this idea of, you know what? Don't go 9 innings. Don't go 8 innings. Just go 5 innings, strike everybody out, throw a zillion miles an hour. We'll go get another pitcher out of the pen who's a failed starter, but he's going to throw a zillion miles an hour. We're going to throw the nastiest sliders as hard as we can. You're dead. And all these pitchers are blowing out. Like, it won't surprise me in the least if Jackson Jobe blows out. Like, you just can't, do this to the human body.
No, it's funny because according to those stats, great stats, by the way. So, like, a guy like, for those who remember, Greg Maddux would never make it in today's modern baseball.
No
shot. Because he didn't throw over 85. And he would throw, I mean, he was multiple Cy Young winner. Tons of ground ball outs, and would throw 7 to 9 innings. Complete games in like an hour and 30 minutes.
And you're going to go, well, how do you change this? Look, the problem with the hitting approach right now, too, and what's made baseball tougher for people is we've de-emphasized putting it in play. I don't care if you strike out 200 times. Did you hit 50 bombs? Look at Pete Alonso. I don't care if you hit 240. What was your OPS? The bottom line is we've de-emphasized pitchers' longevity. I mean, it's really no different than horse racing, where we bred the stability out of the horses in the name of speed, and then we wonder why they break down. Because it literally, we altered the DNA. We took stability out for fractions. What we're doing with pitchers is taking stability out in the name of explosiveness at the cost of you're going to blow out.
So they become expendable. Have they become the running back?
Yes. We're reaching a point where every pitcher will be a 5 and fly. It's very possible this year no pitcher throws 200 innings. Remember in the days of Verlander throwing 240? Mm-hmm. Forget about Nolan Ryan. They left him on the mound 24/7. He threw 4,000 innings.
Right, he would throw back-to-back no-hitters.
But that's my point. So I just thought it was a good stat from a game nobody watched, and it's a very simple, easy explanation. We don't need all these debates. It's not the pitch clock. You got everybody throwing 98 miles an hour.
And I look, because Justin Verlander spoke on this recently. I love what he said. He said, well, if a guy throws 99, but he gives up a home run after he threw 92, everyone's looking at him like, well, why didn't you throw your 99? You might have got him out.
Right.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Hey, hell, you got kids in high school now doing elective Tommy John surgery.
That's what I was going to say, because in order to get the velocity up there, one of the byproducts of Tommy John is 2 years later, when you get your control back,
you throw harder.
Yeah. So if you're a sophomore in high school, you know what? Have the surgery now. So your senior year, you'll be able to throw the ball, you know, 98 miles an hour.
I would say I'd love to have your phone calls. I don't know that anyone's going to call on that, but I'll take them if we got them. We'll get a little football. We'll reset everything at the 5. 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.